Good morning. It's Wednesday, January 14th. I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's early edition from KMUW News. Alan Epley of the musical group Shiner was a college student when he began playing in bands in and around Kansas City, Missouri in the late 1980s. In 2026, many of his peers from that time are still active in that music scene, something he says is a real reward for years of hard work.
We all feel very lucky that we do it, but we've also, you know, earned it.
That's coming up after the news. Wichita Mayor Lily Wu is overriding her city council colleagues and calling for a special meeting today to potentially delay the proposed city sales tax vote until August. KMUW's Meg Britton Mellish reports.
The mayor says she's worried over news that a March special election would require 26,000 voters to use alternative polling sites.
It changes things because it was something we did not know in December. So that is why I'm asking for this discussion, because there's still a small window of conversation that can still, there's an opportunity to be had.
The deadline to delay or cancel the election is Friday. That's when the Sedgwick County Election Commission would start mailing overseas ballots. A surprise motion by Wu to hold a meeting on delaying the vote failed. Wu used her mayoral powers to call a special meeting anyway. For KMUW News, I'm Meg Britton Mellish.
And the city council will meet at noon today. Wichita school district officials have proposed closing four elementary schools as early as the end of next school year, KMUW's Daniel Cottle reports.
The plan would close Lovature, OK, Pleasant Valley, and Woodland elementary schools. It would give OK and Woodland an additional 2 years if voters approve a bond issue in November. Officials say the schools are aging and too costly to repair. Some also have low enrollment. Chief Operations Officer Steve Noble says the district needs to give any school that closes a proper send-off.
A building is never just a building. It's memories. It's a lifetime of memories. It's generations of families and kids. We have to be mindful of that.
School board members will ultimately decide if and when to close the schools. The district says no staff would be laid off in the process. For KMUW News, I'm Daniel Cottle.
The Wichita School Board elected new officers during their meeting earlier this week. Stan Reeser was unanimously elected as the new Board of Education president. Reeser has served on the board since 2017 when he was appointed to fill a vacancy. He represents District 4, which includes much of Southwest Wichita. Board member Julie Hedrick was chosen to serve as vice president. She was reelected in November to a third term representing District 2, which includes most of East Wichita. Reeser and Hedrick will serve as board officers for the next year. Wichita Public Schools set a new record-high graduation rate of 85.1% for the class of 2025. The district's graduation rate jumped 0.8 percentage points since the previous year and more than 11 percentage points since 2018. Lauren Hatfield is the assistant superintendent of secondary schools. She credits the work of students and teachers across all grade levels for the recent success.
613 kids in Wichita, 613 families had a high school graduate for the very first time in the class of 2025.
The graduation rates for Black and Hispanic students also rose last year. A recent independent audit confirmed the accuracy of USD 259's graduation rate, but the district will make some recommended changes to how it manages student records. Renee Macklin Good, the woman killed by an immigration officer in Minneapolis last week, attended the University of Missouri, Kansas City. Cother Shire reports that students are calling on the school to release a public statement.
According to the school student-run newspaper Rue News, Renee Macklin Good was a graduate student at UMKC from 2023 to 2024. Since the fatal shooting on January 7th, the university has not released a public statement addressing Good's death. Students are also calling on the school to clarify what safety protocols are in place if immigration agents come to campus. When Rue News reached out to the administration, UMKC spokesperson Stacey Downs responded with the university policy that requires the university to comply with lawfully conducted governmental requests. I'm Cother Shire.
New proposed regulations are looking to help Kansas farmers conserve more water, but as Kaylin Moore of the Kansas News Service reports, most ag leaders have some reservations.
The Kansas Department of Agriculture took public comments about the proposed regulations. One is focused on defining the purpose of a water conservation area, which is used in western Kansas to voluntarily reduce groundwater use. The proposal would require the conservation areas to reduce the water use under specific rules. Aaron Papelka, Vice President of Legal Affairs for the Kansas Livestock Association, says this regulation oversteps the state's authority.
What the department is trying to do is substitute what it believes should be done to conserve water for what the legislature said is permissible.
The Kansas Department of Agriculture will review these comments, then decide whether to put the regulations in place. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Kaylin Moore in Liberal.
Kansas has the highest confirmed number of bird flu infections in the nation. The U.S. Department of Agriculture says more than 400,000 Kansas birds are affected by the highly contagious pathogen. There are outbreaks in four Kansas commercial flocks and six backyard flocks. 380,000 infected birds are from a commercial egg-laying flock in Pottawatomie. 65 total flocks in the U.S. have confirmed cases. The federal government has recorded 71 human cases of the bird flu. None were in Kansas. The CDC's website says the risk to the public is low. Sedgwick County is offering recycling of real Christmas trees through most of this month. More than 20 drop-off sites will accept trees until January 23rd. Trees that are dropped off are turned into mulch, which people can also pick up at those sites. Lights, ornaments, and stands must be removed before dropping off a tree. Drop-off locations in Wichita include the Great Plains Nature Center, Osage Park, and the County Extension Office. Other participating cities include Colwich, Derby, and Mulvane. A full list of locations is at KMUW.org. We'll be back after this.
Ever picked up a classic book and thought, why should I read this? Our new series has answers, fast ones. I'm Fran Connor with Wichita State's English Department, and we'll bring you one-minute audio essays on the literary works everyone talks about, but few have actually finished. From Gulliver's Travels to Ulysses, we break down the brilliance, the delight, and the why it still matters, all in 60 seconds. Every other Wednesday during Morning Edition and All Things Considered.
This is Wichita's Early Edition. I'm Fletcher Powell. The band Shiner formed in Kansas City, Missouri in 1992 and released a series of influential albums over the next decade before disbanding in 2003. Although the group reunited in 2012, they didn't release any new music until 2020, but the album they put out that year and the one they released in 2025 called Believe You Me were both met with critical praise and also saw the veteran act gain some new fans. KMUW's Jed Bodwin recently spoke with Alan Epley of Shiner and has more.
I wonder if you could tell me a little bit about what the Kansas City music scene was like when Shiner started back in the early 1990s. Was it kind of a healthy scene with a lot of bands, or was it something where you were sort of like one of the groups leading the charge?
We were third or fourth onto that thing. It was really Season to Risk and then Molly Maguire. The scene was built around, I feel like, that, but then there were bands like Boys Life, there was Giant's Chair, there was Get Up Kids, who far surpassed all of us in terms of their appeal and approach and everything. And those guys are grandfathers of the emo scene now. Almost all of these bands got signed to major labels except for Shiner. So I think we just, I was just paying them all too well. So nobody needed the money from any labels.
So the band broke up about 2003, and then a decade later, there is the vinyl resurgence going on, and your catalog starts coming out on vinyl, which becomes, I guess, one of the reasons that you reunited. And it seems like that reunion, the initial reunion, was successful.
We were offered a lot of money to play five shows. Each show was exorbitant amounts of money for us. There was a show at the Gramercy Theater in New York. There was a show at Echoplex in L.A. There was a show at Granada in Lawrence. Two shows in Chicago at the Bottom Lounge. So we sold those out. And it was just a really wonderful time. Everybody came out, and it was just a really strange, cool, welcoming, and homecoming. So that then every couple of years, we decided to reintroduce all our records into vinyl. And it gave us a reason to get back together, have a few beers and a few laughs, rediscover this music, kind of put it back into play, and to reintroduce ourselves to our crowd, really not trying to think about getting back together. We really, really, really didn't. We never talked about rejoining forces to make a new record until about 2018, after we'd done two or three of these reunion tours and shows that have been very successful. And so we were like, well, we should probably do this or get off the pot, because we're going to run out of our reason for people to come see us. Not until this record, Believe You Me, did we really get to see the full effect of everybody and so many packed crowds and houses and the full effect of what a really strong record from a band of guys who really like each other can do.
So you have this new album, Believe You Me, which came out in 2025 and was very well received. And it also strikes me that today, so many of you who were in bands back in the early 1990s in Kansas City are now part of the sort of musical infrastructure of that town. They're club owners, studio owners, and most of you continuing as musicians.
We were all kind of talking about this. There's a lot of guys from that 90s scene that are still very, very much living this artistic life. We're all still very involved in music and in creating, even in our mid-50s, you know? It just is like, it's a really, we all feel very lucky that we do it, but we've also, you know, earned it.
Shiner performs at Barleycorn's tonight. You can read more of this interview at KMUW.org. Thanks for joining us for Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Fletcher Powell.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.